Privately held wealth by South Africans declined by 10% in 2018. That's according to the Mauritian-based AfraAsia Bank, which today released its South Africa Wealth Report 2019. Poor macroeconomic fundamentals were largely responsible for the decline, and a relatively weaker local currency also diminished people's wealth in dollar terms. Well, to take us through the findings and the outlook going forward, I'm joined on the line by Colin Grieve. He's Chief Representative Officer at AfraAsia Limited. Thanks very much for coming on the show, Colin. So your report has found that total South African private wealth declined by 10%. Where does the quantum of wealth now stand in dollar terms, and what were the key factors behind the decline?
Quantum wealth in South Africa presently stands at $649 billion, and that is up 42% over the past 10 years. That is a fairly modest increase if you look at it over a 10-year period. Mm. And the reason is manyfold. But first of all, what one needs to take into consideration is that these quantums are measured in dollars by international standards.
Yes.
And our currency has declined from 9.3 rands to the USD back in 2008 to 14.40 at the end of 2018. So that obviously has an impact, a spillover impact onto the performance of all indexes. For example, if I look at the JSE All Share Index was up 42% during the 10-year period, relatively modest increase.
Yes, yes.
If I look at property, real estate, prices down by 5% over the past 10 years. Again, that is in USD terms. And unfortunately, in this 10-year period, there was a significant impact in 2018, which was a fairly bad year for South Africa, which saw the JSE All Share Index down 29% in 1 year, again in USD terms. So perhaps performance would have been better had 2018 not been such a bad year for South Africa.
Yeah. Of course, we know and understand that the local equities market declined, you know, by some double digits last year. But don't many of the high net worth individuals who have investments, don't they tend to diversify their portfolios, which would then also include exposure to offshore investments in order to help balance potential gains and losses?
Yeah, absolutely. But two big items in the measurement of wealth are real estate, which, as I said, has not done well, as well as equities.
Yes.
I mean, that is, in most instances, nearly 60% of a person's, a wealthy person's asset allocation.
Mm.
So I think the combination of the two of them have had a material negative impact. But you're quite right. The MSCI is up 120% over the past 10 years, and people who have invested in offshore equities would have done well, especially in rand terms.
So when it comes to property, which you've touched on, we know in average real terms, property prices in South Africa have been declining, and that in fact it was your more expensive properties that took a hit in terms of value in recent years. We're seeing places like the Western Cape where, you know, they've continued to enjoy quite good property prices, that area also declining, I suppose, as a result of, you know, the economic situation. What sort of value depreciation are we talking about in terms of property?
Well, like I said, over the past 10 years, we've seen in USD terms, real estate declining by some 5%. We attribute this to a number of factors, and I think the most important one is I think there's been a loss of faith in the returns that people expect out of residential property.
Mm.
There's certainly a trend towards fewer people buying second homes.
Yes.
And the reasons behind that are manyfold. Rocketing utility bills certainly doesn't help the equation and increases the cost of having a second home. Transfer duties on luxury homes have been steadily increasing. As you mentioned, in the Western Cape, a water crisis, which I think has taken the shine off a lot of people looking to buy second homes in the Western Cape. That slack has been taken up in the Ballito and Umhlanga and the Garden Route areas, but certainly Western Cape has experienced a decline.
Yes.
And then also there have been visa restrictions on foreigners, which you know, the Cape region has always been a popular second home investment place worldwide, but visa restrictions have no doubt have decreased that interest.
Yeah. Colin, with some viewing the economic and political situation in South Africa as problematic for quite some time, we've heard anecdotal stories, well, not even anecdotal. The last time you and I spoke, we spoke specifically on the number of millionaires that were leaving the country. But obviously, we've been hearing about a mass exodus of millionaires and others moving out of South Africa as they see other countries as more preferable, whether it be for, you know, tax reasons, or whatever it may be. What's the story on that front? And do you know roughly what the impact of financial emigration has been on the total wealth picture in South Africa?
We estimate that some 3,000 high net worth individuals have left South Africa over the past 10 years. I don't think that's a huge number if you take it over a 10-year period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned the term anecdotally. Anecdotally, people I think expect would expect a much higher number.
Hmm.
But certainly, safety concerns are an issue. We believe safety is one of the key drivers of wealth growth in a country, and that's possibly the reason why Australia is picking up so many immigrants from all around the world. People with the wherewithal to move to Australia. Not just from South Africa, but all from all around the world. And other concerns have been load shedding and a general concern around the state of the country's state-owned enterprises. I think the perception of the threat of land redistribution without compensation, and let me emphasize it's the perception at this point, I think that's also had an impact. The possible nationalization of South Africa's healthcare sector. South Africa's healthcare sector ranks one of the best in the world. And
yes.
I think, and it's certainly an attribute which attracts high net worth individuals to a country. Things like, you know, good private schooling, good healthcare system, and if it's going to, there's a threat of nationalizing the healthcare system, that's not going to go down very well. And, I think political uncertainty has also played a role.
Yeah. So the macroeconomic picture, macroeconomic political picture, still looking a little bit difficult for some.
Fuzzy, yeah.
Hmm. In the interim, you know, now coming back to the whole investment situation. In the interim, what investment strategies do you think that fund or wealth managers need to adopt to take into account, you know, current global and local macro factors as they try to ensure that their clients make gains on their capital?
We see over the next 10 years a continued decrease in investment in local property. We see an increase in equity investments, and within that, buried within that number, in fact, it's not just within equities; it's across all three categories of foreign property, foreign cash and bonds, and foreign equities.
Hmm.
We see that number increasing in the next 10 years, possibly doubling the foreign exposure from that which would have existed in 2008.
That was Colin Grieve, he's Chief Representative Officer at Afrasia Limited.